Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we are talking about obstructed destiny and taking calls for on-air readings. That's what we're doing. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Please, if you'd like to speak with us, we're going to get to the caller in just a moment. Actually, last night, Neil was talking to me in his sleep. You said something about the show topic being chasing ambiguity.
Yeah, in the dream world, that's what karma is. Karma is transformed into ambiguity. So that was a really correct comment I was making.
Probably a correct comment. Well, I have like hours of recordings of Neil talking in his sleep, and actually I can carry on conversations with him. And it's funny, he'll go into different characters. So he'll play like multiple people in the conversations. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Well, when I'm asleep in the astral realm, I go back to my acting days.
I guess.
At the Avon.
The content is really, really amusing. And then I'll play the recordings for him. Of course, he has no recollection of it. Funny.
Well, sleep is a strange region, and when you incorporate all the energies of the astral realm, and plus your own past lives, it sort of comes out as a kind of goulash, but still, nonetheless.
Or maybe a tumbleweed.
There's a great scene at the end of No Way to Treat a Lady, where Rod Steiger, at the end, they go over every character he ever impersonated to murder women. It's a good movie. Lee Remick, George Segal, and Rod Steiger.
Lee Remick, no, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, nice actress. Totally. She died of cancer, but Rod Steiger donned all these different costumes and put on all these different accents with each one, and it was his way of murdering women. And at the end, as he's dying, he's finally shot. The camera goes over all the characters he ever portrayed. And so in the astral realm, I have probably encountered Rod, and we had a good time. And you probably picked up on some of that energy.
I guess so.
I think it happened.
That must have been it. Okay. Well, anyway, enough about us. Let's take a caller. Hi, I think it's Gwendolyn. Is this Gwendolyn?
Oh, hey, Duo, how are you? Yes, it is. 626.
Oh, hey, yes. You had your court case.
I did, and we swooped it. It went extremely well for this phase, this step. Granted me everything, and I couldn't go get my kids today, but I can go get them next week, and
You're kidding. We can heal.
We can fix this. No, everything. They granted everything. So my next step is just to grab my little one. And
oh, my gosh.
Yes,
so what, right? Thank you.
Can you tell us just give us what they granted exactly? I mean, I knew you were looking for compensation that you weren't provided by your ex, right? Monetary.
Right. Right, and okay. He was court-ordered to pay a lot of those monies a year ago. So I received, again, an enforcement act. So he has 14 days, or they will go arrest him. I get all my interest from it, all the legal fees, that he owed me for years. I get all interest on that. So that's 8 years worth of interest on that. Legal fees today, and we're getting me all my money. He has 14 days. He never showed up. He never responded to the courts whatsoever. All his financials are due also in 14 days, or he goes to jail. It went really well, so I just can't stand it.
You get your kids.
I'm sorry.
So what is that? What is the custody arrangement now? How does that look?
Now I'll have my kids every weekend, Friday through Sunday, Tuesday nights to Wednesday, and I'll work through that portion until it's time to bring them
Friday
with me permanently.
Sunday? Sorry, what about Tuesday and Wednesday? Friday through Sunday custody?
Tuesday night I'll keep them, and then Wednesday I get to wish my boys off to school in the morning, which I've done many times, many over the years. So I'm looking forward to that. So, you know, I'll have them three nights a week, and I can spend every weekend. And come Christmas, they'll be with me for the time their Christmas holiday ends or begins at school until after the New Year. So we'll have that nice block of time to really spend together. It's going to be a Merry Christmas, and it was really worth it. And I cannot... any gratitude I could ever extend verbally to both of you, I can't even get it all in there. I am so grateful, and I want to thank you for what you do. It's so selfless that you make yourself available to people like myself who know to just do the right things and, yeah, fight that good fight. And, yeah, it stinks, but you'll get up, and there's reasons and guidance. And I am so grateful eternally and beyond. Honest to goodness, thank you. I'm happy to share this news with you. I am just, like, still in utter awe. I'm standing still. Is it next Friday yet? But I'm going to take every moment and enjoy it. Enjoy it.
Oh, well.
Well, that's great.
So happy. Go ahead.
Yeah, and, you know, we're very happy for you. That's
really
the first thing. The second thing is we made sound predictions. Aside from the work, we made sound predictions that you were going to come out victorious. So it's good to know that in the whole circle of activity and energy, everything turned out in your favor. And but most of all, we're happy for you. And
thank
this
you.
Is great news.
It really, really is. It really is. And I can't wait to share a better side of this, a much nicer side that will be for the higher good of all of us. And that part is going to be beautiful. And I'm really, really embracing that window coming up. Like, this is time to create that for us. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, God bless you.
Do you have a question?
I'm sorry.
Do you have any question today?
Oh, if there's anything in the universe. I mean, I know I have, it's like, what's next? And I have dreams I want to finish. And, you know, I'm not, really, if the universe wants to say anything, I say thank you to them, and they know how grateful
I am. You know, this is great news. You're going to be pregnant and have triplets.
Yeah, right.
It's
hey, Neil.
It's going to happen in 4 months. You'll be on Time Magazine.
Time
Magazine.
What are you talking
about? Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Time Magazine.
It's so funny.
Strange things have happened.
You're talking that crazy stuff.
In 4 months. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Okay. Well, no. Yeah. Well, Gwendolyn, your journey coming up now, what you're going to be experiencing are some really nice things. You got through karma. And, We traveled through there pretty extensively, and now that you're out of it, as long as you maintain a high vibrational positive energy, you understand the concept of duality in the earth, that if you are steadfast and consistent in your energy, the chances of becoming victorious are there. I mean, not in all cases. Some people have very unfortunate karmas. But in your case, right, some really, really bright things are going to come up. I'm seeing like a house.
I was, you know, to ask her about moving, what she's going to do. So it's interesting.
Well, yeah,
you said the house. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I've
been
blast of noise.
Yeah, I've really been thinking about that. And I know that I want to do, like, I wanted something that I can invest in. That would, I would say to the universe, I just want to help some other people go through transitions that they can't prepare for. And not everyone can dig as deep as I dig in all situations. So, you know, there's a lot of people out here that need help in that transitional period. And I think if they're with the right people, with the right team, and they can do it with dignity and their head held high and, you know, people that really care about them, you can make it. And, you know, I keep, like, that's always been my dream. And I don't, I mean, I let the chips fall, but yeah, I was hoping I, how?
I feel compelled to tell you to protect your assets. Don't lend money to anybody. Keep your money. If you want to help people, that's fine. I mean, definitely go out into the world and help others. That's a great higher mission. But do not lend your money. You just, I mean, hopefully you're recovering assets from your ex.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Keep them for yourself. Save them, invest them, whatever it is. But don't on the financial level. I don't think that's a good idea. I mean, would you agree with me?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, always.
Yeah, I agree. They're showing you a house, Neil. They giving you any kind of time frame here? Like, I'm not sure which path to go. Like,
well,
I know to manifest, you have to do something.
The images, like, I see a house, and like in a picture, the sun is half of the sun. It's like it's rising. It's a rising of the sun. So half of it is eclipsed by the earth, and the other half of the sun is rising above the horizon there. So it's like a rising sun. It's split in half. The house
is moving to Asia.
Yeah, the house is it's almost like a farmhouse, but that doesn't matter. It could be a past life thing. So I would say somewhere between June and August, if you work now towards it and start to think about it and start to investigate, the first page in pencil would be something occurring around June or August, where there's possibility of more news or something going on in that.
She's
going to
be 50 years old in August. So
what's her birthday?
It's
in June. Yeah, June. I turned 50.
June. What is it?
June 26th.
June 26th.
So just real quick, we have to move on to the next caller, but real quickly.
Yeah,
because
there's six and then an eight. So June,
August. 6-8.
Maybe
yeah, 6-8. Yeah, it's in her
so
karma.
June is 6 and
26 is 8. So, would you have enough money after he pays you for like a down payment on a house? And enough
I
to
would. Pay? I have to clean up some of the rubble from him still, which I am, you know, that was like the absolute priority of doing what's next is clearing all that out. I'm going to hold on to it.
And
well, hold on to it, but I would suggest that around June to August
start
would
looking.
Be serious months to start thinking about it or even just playing with it a little bit now, but June, August would be significant.
And do you have enough to keep up on a house payment or could you actually buy something outright with the finances that he's awarding you or that you've been awarded?
I would say that if the universe is foretelling, that will come, and apparently I'm going to, because anything that I set out to do, I pretty much get there one way or the other. So signpost, I'll keep aware of any signpost, and I'm sure I'll be led to it. That's pretty much how I'd be fine. I'm all about doing me, my children. So wherever that's going to be and whatever that's going to take, that will occur. It's nice to know that that is coming down the line because that is something I never want anyone to take from my children and I again is a place called home where love is that anytime you walk in and out that door, that's the place you can go. That is your sanctuary. I am your mother. I don't run your life. I don't make all your choices, but I'm here to guide and support you, and I love them deeply. And they need that place. They need to know that they matter every day, all day.
Well, that's great that you have that opportunity now and are being reunited. So we're really happy for you, Gwendolyn. And
yes. Thank you. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah,
take care and please bless some others today.
Okay.
Have a good one. Big hug.
Bye-bye.
Okay, 727 area code. Great news for Gwendolyn. We're really happy. Are you there, caller?
Hi.
Hi.
I was scared to call. I didn't know if I was online or not.
That's okay. No, you're fine.
I want to know about, I've been cutting some things off around me, and I want to know about relationships.
Okay, well, what's your name?
Shante.
Is it C-H-A-N-T-E?
S-H-U-N-T-E.
Okay, I said S first, but then I changed. Okay. All right, Shante. And, okay, where are you calling from?
Florida.
Florida. A lot of people from Florida call our show, but it's a big state. It's a big state. And your birth date, Shante?
March 3rd, 1974.
27-9? Yeah. 27-9. Okay. Shante, and you're wondering about a relationship. Is there someone that you have?
No, I've cut things off. It's been ended, and I'm just trying to feel something new coming or that I can, you know, not rush into, but, you know, someone new.
Someone new. So you're done with the other relationship. We don't even
Yes. I don't want to look at it.
Okay. We don't have to look at it.
Shante, is there anybody in your family background who ever did like tarot cards or readings or organic magic or tribal magic? Anybody back there in your background?
Not that I know of. I be having warnings myself, but I don't know what they mean. And usually it happens when I have dreams or something like that. But anyone in my family, no.
Are you prone to be a woman that would wear necklaces of any variety?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, these crazy questions are posed because they lead to actual psychic visions that ultimately connect to the future. So here's where the premise is as we speak. Somewhere in March.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's going through a change.
Oh, she's birthday in March.
Yeah, her birthday's in March, and she is going through a change. So she would have had a change in 2010 and then 2019. So she's in a cycle of a master number starting in March. So that's a change for you, Shante.
Yeah, 9 times 5 is 45. And the man not only appreciates jewelry, but somewhere in his background, there were jewelers.
What?
Hopefully still.
Kristen thought I said jailers. No, jewelers.
Wow.
Jewelers. So, and you know, it's kind of weird because on one picture, it doesn't have to be accurate, so don't worry. But on one picture, there's this beautiful, like, gold-plated necklace. It's kind of larger.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that you have to have that. But
okay.
What I think I'm seeing is that there's something, the person coming into your life, it's going to be an old tribal connection.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And we know that. In the origin of all of cultures, when we get into the concept of jewelry, when we get into the richer, deeper continents where jewelry and tribal energies meant so much, they had certain significance both for male and female, because in some of the more ancient tribes in the darker continent, conventionally speaking, the statements were made about rank, about availability, about all kinds of things. So there's something regarding that. And what you need to do, Shantae, is you need to look at your relationship with jewelry and
okay.
ask yourself, what is it? Do I just like it for its aesthetic value, for its beauty, or is there something deeper that I connect to? And is there a particular jewelry piece, necklace speaking, that I connect to that means something to me? Although, as I'm speaking, I'm seeing a bracelet that has some kind of family significance.
Yes.
So yes. What is that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you relay?
I have a charm bracelet right now as I speak, and my mom gave it to me, and I never take it off, no matter what. And I'm always admiring it, and I'm always looking at it. And I was like, it's so pretty. You know, I don't have much, so I cherish everything that comes to me. And when it comes to jewelry, yes, I am very fascinated with this family bracelet right here. I don't know where she got it from, but she's had it for a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
organically speaking, now as we're doing the reading and we're getting these visions, and then we're talking about necklaces, and suddenly the wristband comes in. That means that there's a spirit somewhere. There's a spirit involvement in the mm-hmm. transference of information. It's just not, you know, soundly just being psychic. It's psychic, but there's something, there's a spirit behind it.
So
that's extra. That's an extra dose of blessing in your way.
Meaning that there's something
wow.
positive
oh.
in the relationship aspect for you
okay.
coming in.
Okay.
Just real quick, Shantae, what happened in 2009? I mean, 2001, I'm sorry. Is that right?
2001. I need a hint. So 2001. I was homeless. I was going through a transition of place to place, mm-hmm. and I just was going through a lot, and so many things was happening to me, and I think that's why I am now so strong and so defensive, you know, when it comes to certain things that I see in my past. But yeah, 2001 was a real bad year for me.
So it was significant. And when did you become not homeless?
I came not homeless in 2002, a year later.
Wow. Okay.
You know, you have a very caring voice. Are there any caretakers in your family's history? Anybody that were people?
Well, actually, I work in a nursing home where
yeah.
A lot of a lot of residents. I've been there 14 years, and a lot of residents cling to me. They light up when I come up the hall, or a lot of residents remember me, especially their relatives. I got a good rapport where I work at. So
yeah
you're hitting home. I'm like in tears right now. Like, oh my God, they hitting every area.
Yeah, we're hitting home because the noun I was going to use. I mean, it's obvious, but I was going to say, are there any nurses or in the nursing capacity?
Well, you essentially did say it. I mean, you did.
So we're hitting home.
He did say it. And she does. I agree. There's something very. There's a magnetic energy in terms of that. You know, that warm. She's got a warm, warm. Caring, like you said, sound in her voice. So, it's nice to talk to you. Actually.
So hopefully you'll. Oh, call
thank you guys.
You know, follow us, Shantae. Do so. I don't know how that works when I say it, but I don't know what it means.
So we're on Facebook, the counseling's on our Blog Talk Radio profile. We're on Twitter too. Really, the Facebook account is more active, and it's Neil and Kristen Baker. There's also a page, Neil Baker Psychic, and I started a page for our show, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. So those are the places. I haven't really developed that too much, the page for the show, but primarily the one that's linked on our profile, and we'd love to connect with you, you know?
Yeah, we actually
I
go
sure
through that.
Will.
We go through that, and we work on the people's energy, so, you know, we'll keep you in mind now.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you very much. I enjoyed my talk with you guys.
Well, we really appreciate you calling. So it's nice to meet you, Shantae, and wish you luck and want to know what happens in the future with the relationship. So definitely keep connected with us.
Oh, one thing I want to know, when I'm going to meet him, like, is it going to be 2019 or?
Well,
that's
you. That would be my guess. In your 45th year. During your 45th year would be my guess.
45th year. Yeah, I turned 45 in March. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and did you ever smoke cigarettes?
No. I used to do some marijuana.
That's what it is.
Strongly years back. Yeah, years back.
Don't return to that because your voice tells me that you'd be prone to some health problems if you do.
Yeah, I won't. I promise. I stopped it cold turkey. When my kids gave me this look like, Mom, no. And that's all I needed.
I thought you had kids.
How old are your kids? What are your kids' birthdays?
My son is 24. My oldest is 24. His birthday is May 16th, 1994. I got an older daughter that's her birthday is July 1st, 1995. I have a middle daughter. Her birthday is October the 15th, 2002. And I have a 16-year-old, which is March 28th. My middle daughter is 1998, October the 15th, 1998. And my 16-year-old is March 28th, 2002.
I'm sorry, say that one again. I had to cross out something.
The fourth one?
Yes, please.
March 28, 2002. And I also have a younger son. I was busy. Birthday.
We've just covered the population of Florida.
I was busy. And 12809, that's my youngest. And no more kids. My tubes are tied.
128 what?
09.
Wow. 9, 10, interesting.
And you want to know about your next relationship?
2 on the 28.
Yes, and they get along so well. They both just—they like look. They just get along.
My goodness. 4, 8, 7, 9, 6. Crap. So 5 children.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
34. They all add up to a 7. Oh my goodness.
Well,
God, it's working. Oh. We just got a cat, it adopted a cat that was living in our olive tree actually in May. And gosh, I mean, I feel like it's so much work having her.
Yeah.
It's much less having kids.
But you know what? It was hard. But believe me, in the end, the there's no price to children, it's no price tag to them. In return, the love is unconditional, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
You seem like you're a really, really good mother, you know. And so
I am. I'm like a tiger when things come down.
That's great.
So, yeah.
That's great.
But I don't want to waste no one else's time. I love you guys. I'm glad you took my call, and I will be following you guys.
Thank you. Or send us a friend request, whatever. I muted you accidentally, but nice to talk to you, Shantae. And
no problem.
Luck. Okay.
You take care. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Well, I've never spoken to an entire state at one time.
Wow. Well, yeah.
I mean, there are people. I've encountered women who had 9 kids.
Yeah, I come from a family with parents that had many children, siblings, and you know all that, big family. But it's hard to conceive. It's hard to conceive. Funny word choice. It's hard
not
to conceive.
For her.
No, but for us, it's hard to conceive of having so many kids. I mean, such a responsibility, and Yeah. I mean, once you have a child, it's like a lifetime commitment. I mean, you're locked in for life.
Well,
and
you
hopefully
know,
you take it seriously when you have a child. Clearly, she does.
Over a lifetime, it says if you have a child, it's like over $100,000.
Very expensive.
To have a kid. So I don't know. She said there's the price tag. It's $500,000 right there.
Jeez. Okay. Well, we're talking about obstructing destiny today, and we kind of touched on it. I mean, somewhat thoroughly on Wednesday, but really, you know, it was a introduction. So getting into it more deeply.
There's a contract, if you will, that we make upon our conception. When we're conceived, we think of ourselves as being a blank slate. It's a psychological term that we're a blank slate and that the world now leaves, puts their impressions on us. And that's the way we are formed. If you look up in psychology, the blank slate is an actual term. But that's one theory that we are born a blank slate and every part of life that's impressed upon us becomes the composition of everything we are now. Well, no, because the aspect of the soul and the spirit eliminates any concept of blank slate. We are
right because we have that history, but of course in psychology that's not really considered. Well, maybe if you get into Jung, that there's a consideration, but not. You know, if you go to a traditional psychologist, they're not thinking of your karma. They're thinking
The blank slate. Well, the perimeters of it is expansive enough to say that a blank slate can involve narcotics. It can involve the healthy environment. I mean, it accommodates the actual background
of a person.
Of a person,
but it doesn't go beyond the life
the
from zero to
itself.
However. Exactly.
Obstructing. Obstructing karma and obstructing transcendence is based upon the idea, first of all, that we come from somewhere else with a history. How can you transcend from anything if there's no starting point upon which to measure what transcendence is? The very word transcendence means that you are transcending from an origin, a certain point. Life itself is a transcendence because we grow up and every year we gather in our life is a part of transcending.
We move
to the
on
next
from
year.
Different stages and, you know, whatever.
But that's growth development. Growth development is a whole different term than transcendence.
Well, and when you're talking about transcendence, I mean, people can transcend to the next level and they come back to the earth, or you transcend completely. And there's even if you transcend the planet, there's different levels which a soul will go to.
Right.
Lower astral realm.
As an active term in the world, that
higher.
You're playing the application of transcendence there is an active participation in the world. But transcending from karma, that's different than just the immediacy of karma in the world. When we get into the aspect of the soul, there are so many journeys that the soul has gone on, and yet there hasn't been the actual transformation of transcendence because the soul is still attached to the journeys on the planet.
Right. So you can transcend certain issues that come from different lifetimes, but it doesn't mean total transcendence will be realized. If that's done, then you might come back and work on another, you know, set of issues from a different lifetime.
Well, I like to use, in that respect, I like to use the word transitional transcendence because it's not, transcendence isn't a complete word within itself. It's a transitional word. So you can have transcendence within a lifetime, and yet it's transitional to the next lifetime. So in the next lifetime, you're on a higher elevated energy, and you do not have as much karma to with. So some people have it easier than others, but this is all locked and linked to the idea that we are progressive souls moving through different bodies with a common consciousness that involves every lifetime we've ever been in. So some of us are lopsided. And that's where the saboteur comes in and where we have these internal conflicts. And the world is mapped out so conveniently that we usually link these conflicts to the immediacy of our present lifetime, our mothers, our fathers, the conditions of our environment. But when our purpose in terms of our journey into the soul is that that's not the starting point. And it's not even the starting point to trace back genealogy, you know, where our ancestors came from and what they went through and blah, blah, blah. Because we're in a bloodline that jumps over nationalities, cultures, religions. It's all within the human species. And that's even questionable because some of us were very much, when we go through the pattern of conception, we go through a lot of animal states. So a lot of us, we weren't, not to say that we're evolved from animals, so to speak, generally that I was once a tiger, but we are in the element, even in the succession of each succeeding stage of existence, how life formed on the planet, we all have genes and we all have DNA that is connected to the most primitive forms of life.
Levi's.
Yeah. And then we have cutoffs, which are, you know, getting rid of some of the karma. But
And then you talk about, you know, the dust that formed man. I mean, you know, we come from dust, but where did that dust come from?
Now, that's another interesting point, yes, because the dust, we're not of the earth. We've landed on this. The earth is a globe. It's a rock, and life has evolved upon the earth.
Right. We come from seeds that are the origin is from somewhere outside of the planet.
Outside. So we got the idea of galaxies away, solar systems away, drifting, formulating over time. And then landing on the most convenient rock in the solar system. And we've got that idea, but the origin, whether the origin of existence is from some literal or metaphorical God, or from some literal or metaphorical other solar system, we are still a product of something that is beyond the planet. And that's why we are recycled into the idea that we return, metaphorically speaking or literally speaking, to heaven. Or we go to God. One of the most present honored deaths now is former President Bush. And they say that he's in heaven now, making it peaceful. He's with Barbara holding her hand. We use these illusions because it's a way of reminding us our life on earth isn't in vain, that we somehow return to another sphere that isn't of the earth, but is in a replication of the earth in terms of sentiments and values and emotions. But at the same time, it's not of earth. So does Barbara Bush have white hair and, you know, and is George Bush still throwing up with broccoli up in heaven? Or is he just kind of sitting there holding hands for eternity and going, well, this is nice, but are you getting a little bored? I mean, what is the idea of spiritual energy on an eternal level when the body and the organs are no longer there? It's just pure energy now. The energy that is the source of something that is beyond the planet.
Well, when we talk about, in personal discussion, discussed Bush, and I, you know, asked you, do you think that, you know, everybody's saying they're together and there's a joke about them being up there in rocking chairs for eternity that we were shared together. But I mean, their souls are probably joined, but of course their souls encompass every journey they have on the planet, not just the journey as Barbara, President Bush and the First Lady. So, and what may happen to their souls is unknown. from this point.
Except there's only one.
And their daughter that died too. You know, people are saying, oh, well, the three of them are up in heaven now. Their daughter Robin died of leukemia when she was 3 years old. And, you know, I mean, without that, you know, she's apparently been waiting all these years up there to be reunited with them, which, I mean, questionable. I mean, she had, that was a karma, 3 years old dying like that. But anyway,
in this hemisphere of trying to interpret where the soul goes or what happens, we also have to get back to our topic
hand, which is obstructing destiny.
Obstructing.
Yeah. And I want to mention something, because you were saying, you know, some people come in with heavier karma, some people come in with less karma, so their conditions on the earth aren't as severe. They have an easier time getting through life. But when we're talking about obstructing destiny, you know, you can have an easy life in terms of your financial situation or your relationships, seemingly that they go well, you don't have a lot of conflicts, but you can obstruct destiny in that lifetime by being lazy and being complacent with that life. Of course, obstructing destiny, so you're creating new karma for yourself. Obstructing destiny, you know, by not getting yourself out of certain situations when you have a heavier karma in terms of what's going on.
There is a spiritual metaphor that we are given a garden, and upon our death, the idea that
I know it's the Bible.
Yeah,
it's in the Bible.
In the Bible.
We've looked for it, but didn't get the illusion.
Well, I know.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
not
correct.
Specifically the,
yeah, I should have written
location.
It down.
But the idea that we're given a garden, and when our maker comes to take us, the idea is the garden in ill repair? It died, or is it just maintained the way it was given to us? Or have we added to it? Have we replenished it or embellished, have new growth? So one part, I mean, when you look back at George Bush, one of our current, being a war hero, being in the oil fields, he did charity work, tremendous amounts of millions of dollars of charity they raised after being president, which they could have had a very complacent life. You know, the CIA, the presidency, and the sense that he had a temperament that bridged different ideas together.
Right, he was very diplomatic and also extremely compassionate, apparently, to others.
It's not to say that he wasn't flawed as a human being, you know, even his son said he was.
It's funny because now with our current president, don't want to get too much into politics, but with current president, I mean, looking back, and I watched the funeral, both of the funerals, and watched shows that, you know, detailed the history of his life and had people in his life commenting. And so I was really impacted by what he did on the planet. Now, I was not a fan of him when he was in office at all, and they said he was not an orator. I mean, he wasn't a great speaker. So there wasn't that kind of appeal to the public, like someone like Reagan, who could really take the stage and was an actor and all this.
Yeah.
But I was very impressed in retrospect. And then, of course, his passing really signifies the passing of an era when the office of presidency had dignity, which it doesn't now. It's been really changed. So.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with stirring up the pot and creating a little chaos and challenge. But when it's done on a purely egotistical level.
No, I agree. I like chaos.
As a representation
of
the country, not as a representation of one's ego that everyone has to follow or be damned. In the non-obstruction of karma, there's a certain grace that an individual has on a worldwide level. We aren't all one. We never will be. Forget it. There's going to be diversity on this planet until the planet's long gone. But the idea of conceptualizing all ideas and incorporating that into the diversity of the planet as a whole, because this is a diverse planet. It's not a uniform planet.
Right.
It's not America.
The aspect of duality is. I mean,
that's the
defined
problem.
the way the planet is.
Differences in the human kingdom. We see these differences and we decide according to the differences to form stereotypes, to oppress, to condemn, to even annihilate certain races, if you will. I hate to use that word, but yes, because we are so accustomed to equating diversity with threat. There's something threatening about it, or there's this attitude that there's this superiority of one race over the other, one skin color over the other, when in all actuality, that is a stumbling block to transcendence. And so even to use God's name under the assumption that my God is the only God, and if you don't believe in my God, which represents all people, then you must be stoned to death. You must be crucified. You must be burned to the stake. So this idea of that we are human beings and there's this great diversity in the wholeness of the human experience, I think is most predominantly the issue of how to eliminate a stumbling block. When you're born and you look at your own world and you trace through your history what you look back at and you understand what your stumbling blocks are you still living with them? Are they still following you? When you ask yourself, am I happy? Am I complete? What have I done and what yet do I need to do? But if you're still working on issues that you've carried with you over all the years of your life, this is something that must be addressed in terms of trying to actualize the transitional, at least transitional transcendence of one's existence. You need to eliminate those blocks, but do so in a way to where the record is clean. You've cleared it, and there's no more. It's like having bad credit. And they say, what do they say? After 7 years, it's gone?
Yeah, I think it disappears from your credit report. I think bankruptcy is like 10 years. It's longer, but...
It disappears on good record. It's
right.
Contingent on the fact that you were forgiven, but the forgiveness is forthcoming, and there must be work done in order for that forgiveness to be endowed with the actual elimination of whatever impairment you had established. So we come into the world in debt. We have a debt to pay to the earth. And that debt is repaid by the commission of the spirit and the soul. And the commission of the spirit and the soul is based upon whatever trespasses we've established throughout our lifetimes that are now surfaced and manifested in our current life. So we could say that, well, my problem is relationship, my problem is money, my problem is a crippling ailment I've got, my problem is intelligence, my problem is creativity. Whatever those problems are, they are but the manifestation of a deep-rooted karma. That even in the guise of establishing something transcendent, there's something to be reckoned with.
Or transitional transcendence, because complete transcendence is a different topic. So even resolving some of those issues, relationship or, you know, creativity, whatever it may be, that perhaps will allow someone to transcend transitionally, but the ultimate transcendence is based on spiritual actualization. So that is really, I mean, if we're talking about destiny and our soul's destiny, that's the true destiny that each of us have. And to get there is, you know, sometimes takes many, many, many lifetimes.
Right. Because we are in conflict. We even produce a conflict about what spirit is. We aren't even sure what it is. It's an esoteric term. It's a term for the philosophers, for the theologians, for people who have a sort of, if you will, religious fever. What is the spirit? Is it pure inspiration? Does that mean that Michelangelo transcended?
Right, we were just talking about this. We're just talking about that. So in terms of Michelangelo painting the Sistine Chapel, that was a creative karma that he had. It wasn't, you don't transcend for making great works of art. Or even, you know, someone like George Bush, who obviously moved forward in his life despite whatever roadblocks he faced, the death of his daughter, what he went through in war, you know, losing his bid for presidency in his second term. I mean, he still moved forward in life, but do those equate passing through those trials and moving forward and still actualizing himself on the planet, does that qualify for transcendence?
Well,
transcendence.
No, I mean, it qualifies for good works.
But works don't transcend you.
No,
I mean, we can't talk about his faith because I don't have great knowledge about, you know, his faith. I know he was a member of Episcopalian Church for 50 years. So, I mean, he definitely had a relationship with God, but how deep that goes, we can't judge. I don't know. But based on his works, no, that doesn't transcend you.
No. And even when we talk about somebody like Leonardo da Vinci, or we talk about specifically Michelangelo and the great art he did and the heavenly monuments he made, I mean, this man struggled with homosexuality. He was conflicted. He argued with the Pope. And even we talk about people like Van Gogh, who was artistically gifted,
right, but
struggled
with psychological issues,
sheltered himself with prostitutes, cut off his ear, or
well, he had Meniere's disease, I think, so he was struggling with illness
aspect in and out of mental institutions. But originally he wanted to be a minister. If you read his books, he studied religion vivaciously.
There was that energy towards developing a spiritual essence,
yeah.
but really fell short of it because of his personal problems. So we're talking about obstructing destiny. That, you know, actualizing yourself on an artistic level is fantastic, and he did, but you know, clearly.
Well, we talk about
problems.
This idea of stumbling of karma, and the journey towards transcendence. We get into the metaphorical compound of the agony and the ecstasy via Wallace, and then ultimately of the novel and the movie regarding even.
No, you're always mentioning movies.
Well, this is a novel too, the agony and ecstasy, which is even what Christ went through. You know, he had a karma.
Coming down to the planet, anybody coming down to the planet, if you manifest yourself in human form, it's always going to be connected to karma. Even though he was a celestial,
he
came
had
from the celestial
to go through,
realm.
He had to go through all kinds of misery, according to the text, in order to save the world. Even if we talk about
it wasn't, so to be clear, it wasn't karma that he produced. He came down to deal with the karma of the world.
He didn't produce it, but he incorporated it. He took it on.
Right.
So it became his karma. It became the karma of every human being on the planet. We get to talk about people like Gandhi, who, it's controversial, his lifetime, but the aspect of marching for peace. People like Martin Luther King, marching for peace. Not exactly ideal individuals in terms of their moral and ethics.
Right. I mean,
there was questions about their sex. Yeah, all of that.
Yeah.
But the idea, because there are stumbling blocks, the purity of transcendence is hard achieved. Now, Christians will say, well, you can't. It's impossible. You'll never do it unless you accept Christ and reborn in the blood.
And that excludes a great population of the earth who don't subscribe to Christianity. They're, you know, Jews, Muslims, Confucianists, Buddhists,
whatever. So the idea of individual transcendence is a very personal issue. And it's ultimately one that's brought up within the individual themselves and their own connection and relationship to God.
Right, because I believe that, you know, accepting Christ is definitely helpful if you want to transcend, but I also don't believe that individuals can't transcend because they're not Christian. I just don't believe that.
That would be argued by Christians, but when we look at Judaism, when we look at Buddhism, you know, luckily we're not in a position to say that one idea is the only idea. We can have our personal belief systems. But when we get into the idea in our role of being psychics and we're here to counsel and things like that, we have to do our best to help people's journey along the way. But the ultimate judgment is something that is not going to be solved on the planet.
No.
But what we do on the planet is that we strive to eliminate our problems.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Because we don't always transcend from body to soul with all problems solved.
Right. And sometimes striving to eliminate the problems keeps us in a place of striving to eliminate the problems and overly focus on the problems rather than moving into a higher essence of thought and spirit.
So you have to think karma is on a continuum. It's a continuous energy level of activity that we in our lifetimes are meant to examine so that we don't die with excuses, procrastination, laziness. We're trying to find some scapegoat for our problems. We, basically speaking, no man is an island. Every man and woman is an island. Every man and woman is responsible for their own actions. So ultimately, at the end of a physical breath, the question is not what your brother or your sister or your mother or your father did to you, but what you did to yourself to improve your condition of life. And hopefully it's built on the idea that there is a general theory of spirituality, which is the envelopment and love and respect for human and all life, planet life, animal life, plant life, insect life. I mean, it's all a fascinating universe that we're living in. And that term respect, I think, is paramount to the idea of transcendence.
And additionally, the aspects of belief and faith incorporated into that, because it's not only about the planet and yourself, but also, you know, having God as the overriding factor in one's life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so we're back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thank you, callers, and thanks to our listeners as well. We will speak with you then. Bye-bye.